Exodus chapter 4. Read with me verses 10 through 17. Exodus 4, 10 through 17. Come on in. Good morning. Exodus, I started a couple minutes early. Exodus 4, 10 through 17. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. The Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Moses said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. Also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Thou shalt speak unto him, put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth. I will teach you what he shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. And thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand wherewith thou shalt do signs. And God spoke to Moses over in Numbers 12. It said he spoke to him mouth to mouth. He said that to Aaron and Miriam. He said, I didn't speak to you. I spoke to Moses. He said he spoke mouth to mouth. He even says that Moses saw me, not a similitude. Moses saw the Lord. There aren't many men that could say that. Moses was one of them. Now, this book is the Word of God. The first five books of Moses are not the books of Moses. We call them that, but they're God's book. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God. No scriptures of any private interpretation. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. Right? God in sundry time, in diverse manners, spake unto the fathers by the prophets. He spoke. It was his word. He told them, you say this. And Isaiah said, if they speak not according to my words, no light in them. They're not sent. So the Lord spoke to men, prophets and apostles. You know, he later on, he puts pastors and teachers in the same line as apostles and prophets and evangelists. Then he read it, Ephesians 4. That's something, isn't it? God has not left himself without a witness, spokesman. That's what this message is about. God's spokesman. Now, he's got one spokesman, but he gives them words, so they are his spokesmen. We're going to see that. We're going to see Moses as the man God chose and Moses as Christ. Okay? All right, look at verse 10. Exodus. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, not before or since you've spoken unto me. I wasn't eloquent before, and I'm not eloquent now. I'm slow of speech and slow of a tongue. Now, you know that, let me read it to you. Over in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was preaching, he brought up Moses. And here's what he said about Moses. He says, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deed. So there was a time when Moses was eloquent. Right? That's what it said. Moses was schooled in all the schools of Egypt. He had degrees. Yes, he did. Men aren't different. They like titles and degrees and like to let you know that they have them. He had degrees in Egyptology. He had degrees in geology, all the artifacts and so forth. He had degrees in political science. He had to. He's going to be the next Pharaoh. He was fluent in hieroglyphics. I'm not making this up. He did. He was. He was very eloquent and probably very proud. Until he met the Lord at the burning bush. And then he became a nobody. I can't speak. I can't think. I can't. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody from nowhere. No, don't send me. I'm a nobody. Isn't that the way all God's people feel? That's how you know he's a true preacher. I've known lots of wannabe preachers and they've all failed. Every one. I know a bunch of them. We had 15 men in the preacher's class and three or four of them, they wanted to be pastors and preachers so bad, and they never were. Well, one was, but it was a failure. He failed. Moses said, I can't speak. I'm a nobody. Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. Okay? He was David's son. He was a king's son. He's somebody, isn't it? When the Lord appeared to him, here's what Solomon said. I'm a little child. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. I don't know where to go, what to do, what to think. I'm a nobody. I don't know anything. You're going to have to give me everything, he said. And that's what the Lord said. To this man will I look, to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. That's who he saves. That's who he looks to. And that's who he sends. That's who his preachers and teachers are. It was true of Moses and Solomon. It's true of all of God's spokesmen and all of his people. You. There's not a believer in here that doesn't say, I can't speak. I want to. I try to speak to people. I can't. I can't. Saul of Tarsus, he was a brilliant man. He knew the letter of the law better than anybody. That's what he said concerning zeal. Like I said, I was more zealous than anybody, more knowledgeable than anybody. Saul. But when he met Jesus Christ, you know what he said after that? I'm not fit to be called a disciple. I'm less than the least. He said, if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing. Didn't he? That's what will happen to a man when he meets God. He meets Christ. Every person. Fear. And unworthiness. You see, salvation is by revelation, not education. And it's the same. People talk about, I came to a knowledge of the doctrines of grace. Salvation's not coming to a knowledge of doctrine. You show me a person in this Bible that was saved because they came to a knowledge of doctrine. I'll show you every single person there came to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. They met a person. Like Saul, you know. All his doctrine was cleared when he met Christ. Man's will. As soon as he met Christ, he said, what will you have me to do? Pride, gone. So, salvation is not by revelation. You see it through people with stammering lips, I speak. Stumbling, mumbling. You think you make mistakes on the piano? I grieve over my preaching. The times when I misquote God's word, and later on I think I'd like to go back and clear it up. So, but it's not me. It's not man. It's not my ability. It's not how I bring. It's not in the power of man. It's not by wisdom. Not by might. Not by power. How is it? By my spirit, saith the Lord. Brother Gabe and I were talking few weeks ago, and he, like me and like everybody, you know, you never feel like you're quite prepared. The times you feel like you are, probably you feel a failure. But the times you don't, you worry. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I reminded him of the scripture that says, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always makes savor by us, makes the knowledge of Christ. That brings forth the knowledge. See, I can't quote that. Can you? It's not our ability to quote scripture. It's not our ability to woo and lead people. Moses, I can't lead anybody. I can't take care of myself. Well, now listen to Moses' sufficiency. Look at who is sufficient for these things. Paul said, our sufficiency is of the Lord. Now look at it. In Exodus 4, verse 11. Who made man's mouth? Huh? Or listen to this. Who maketh the dumb? Who shuts his mouth? The deaf? Who shuts the ear? Who opens the ear? The eye? Why is anybody see? Why is anybody blind? Have not I the Lord? Boy, there's not a scripture in all the Bible that declares God's sovereignty more than that is. That's as plain as the nose on your face, isn't it? It sure is. Who made man's mouth? I can't speak. And he went on to say, it's not you, it's me. He's going to speak. And listen to these scriptures. You know these scriptures. Maybe everybody doesn't. Listen, that was clear, wasn't it? Who makes somebody blind? God said, I do. Who makes somebody deaf? They can't hear. I do. Who makes somebody see? I do, God said. Who opens the mouth? Who shuts the mouth? Who makes somebody unable to walk? God does. Listen to Deuteronomy 32, verse 39. See now that I, even I, am He. There is no God with me. No little g. Little G-O-D. No ruler over anything. You know how many times it says that in the Bible? Especially Isaiah. You know how many times? I am God. There is none else. Why does He keep saying that? Because man's an ignoramus. I kill. I make life. Well, cancer killed him. God sent it. And God killed him. Cancer's second cause. God's first. If that's not so, if God's not God, why do we need Him? Why are we thanking Him? Why are we praying to Him? If He's a bystander in the affairs of men, why do we need Him? He's no more powerful than us. It's up to us. And that's what religion is saying. Isn't it? But our God says, it is I. It is I. I wound. My brother was killed in Vietnam. Don't you hate those Viet Cong? Don't you hate the Northern Vietnamese? No. They're just like us. Sinner just like us. God killed him. What about God's son? Who killed him? You with wicked hands and taken, Peter said, and crucified the Lord of glory, but you did what God determined before to be done. This is all our peace, isn't it, sister? It's all our comfort. We can go to bed at night. We're not dependent on Smith and Weston. We're dependent on Jesus Christ. Right? That makes you go to sleep. That gives you comfort. You won't worry about who's elected president. I know who's going to be elected. Ask me who's going to be elected president. I know. I'll tell you. Whoever God puts in there. You don't put them in there. God does. Right? He said of Pharaoh, I raised you up. He said, for this purpose I raised you up, to dash you, throw you in the river. make his power be known. But the world doesn't see it. We do, don't we? We do. We do. See, all of this that's spoken here is to God's people, to Israel. You read that, Deuteronomy 32:39. You love that, don't you, Sister Irene? Back when I was taking requests for scriptures to preach from, she requested that, Deuteronomy 32, and I did. You know, most people would like to take it out of the Bible. Irene wants me to preach it once a week. Why? Romans 9. Anything clearer? Children be not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, whom he will, he hardeneth. That's God's word. A lot of people like to take that out of the Bible. Would you? John's smiling. You love that? You love the truth? You must be born of God. Amazing. Amazing. Sovereign over all. I was going to read Isaiah 45 and on it goes. Creation, Proverbs 16, go there. We've looked at it many times. Proverbs 16. But this is the Proverbs. One proverb is amazing. Just one verse is amazing. All of them together what's the word? What's the adjective? But Proverbs 16, my, my, this is something. Look at it. Proverbs 16. Verse 1, this is what the Lord's saying to Moses. The preparation of the heart in man, the disposings of the heart in man. Heart. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. Now, if God has control of men's hearts, what about their hands? What about their feet? What about their mouth? The answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You know, all the time I wish the Lord would stop some men's mouths. Somebody would stop their mouth. But why are they speaking? Because God's letting them. They wouldn't be. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself. Yea, even the wicked. For they are evil. You know, one of the most puzzling things in all of God's word is that Satan fell. How? How could it? If he's upright like all the rest of the angels, how could he fall? How could Adam fall? You want to answer that for me? Can you? Huh? He's holy. He's upright. How could he fall? Anybody answer that? No. The only way you can answer that is, it's the Lord. Mm-hmm. I will say this. Adam's the only human being that ever had a free will. What happened? What happened? This is why, and Adam had his own righteousness. He had his own righteousness. The angels. The righteousness we have can never fail. You see, it's the Lord's righteousness. But there's no explanation except it's the Lord. That's the only way you can explain it. It's sin's here, isn't it? Satan's real, isn't it? Man failed, isn't it? Huh? And it wouldn't have happened if God didn't direct it. If God didn't say, let him fall. It wouldn't happen. Or there's no God. It's the only way you can explain that. Okay? Let me ask you a question. Scripture says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Doesn't it? Doesn't it? But then it says the Lord hardened his heart. Well, which is it? Which is it? Did Pharaoh harden his heart or did the Lord harden his heart? Yes. Yes. The Lord hardened his heart. How? Let him alone. Just leave him alone. He'll harden his heart. And the Lord hardened his heart by leaving him alone. So the Lord's not him. You don't blame him. Pharaoh's to blame. Christ said, you will not come unto me, said people. Why didn't they come? They would not. Didn't want to. Didn't believe. Why wouldn't they? God didn't make them will to come. God didn't make them willing to come, did he? That's not fair. No, it's God is who it is. That's what Romans 9 says. Who are you to reply against God? Hath not the potter power over the clay to make one vessel? Here it is. One to make one vessel unto honor and one unto dishonor? Hath he not power? Yes, he does, and that's exactly what he does. And when God's people meet him and find out and they understand who he is, they'll bow at his feet for making them, for choosing them to be a vessel of honor. Because if he left them to themselves, they'd been like a vessel of dishonor. Fit for nothing but destruction. Right? That's right. So who gets all the glory? All of it, 100%. It's the Lord. And if you know these things, oh, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Paul said that to Thessalonians. See, and you know these things, I'm going to tell you again. Why? Because we rejoice. We love the truth. We're so thankful. We can't explain anything, but we bow and we believe and we're thankful. We're thankful. I'm so thankful that God reigns. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful he made me to know he reigns. I'm so thankful he didn't leave me to myself. I don't need to be standing right here. I'd be just as happy to sit there, but it's the Lord. I'm just glad to be here. Somebody's got to preach and teach and all that. It's laid on me. I wish it wasn't. Send somebody else. But, he said, who made man's man? I'm sending you. Could have chosen anybody. Who's Moses? Now listen, he's a fearful man. Back in our text, verse 13, he's fearful. Oh, Lord, he said, I pray thee, send somebody else. Send somebody else. Where is this Moses that Hebrews 11 talks about that didn't fear the wrath of the king? He ran. When Pharaoh knew he killed one of those Egyptians, he ran. Well, where's this fearless man? Well, wait a while, you'll see. And he'll come into the face of Pharaoh very shortly. Moses got to know what he is. Moses got to know where he came from. Not the throne, a basket in the river, wandering in the wilderness, following sheep like David. That God said to David, where did I find you? Where did I take you? Following sheep. No prophet ever applied for the job. You know that? Not one. It's not something you pursue. It's a calling. It's ascending. It's necessity laid upon you. And that doesn't mean you can't do anything else. I know men that way who failed at business and failed at this and failed at that, so they thought they'd become a preacher. No, God doesn't send failures. No, the disciples weren't failures at the fishing business. They had boats and nets and servants. They did well. Hardworking men. No. And Moses kept his father-in-law's flock and so on and so forth. David kept sheep. He did a good job of it. But it's not something you apply for. You're sent. You're called. Paul said necessity is laid upon me. But when you feel this burden laid upon you, when you hear, I'm sending you, oh, not me. I can't do this. Elijah ran and hid in the cave. Elisha said, let me go home to my dad. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Jeremiah said, I'm just a child. I can't speak. Good. Because if anything good comes out of your mouth, you'll know who did it. If anybody is saved, you'll know who did it. Right? That's the excellency of the powers of God, not me. Verse 14, the Lord got angry. Anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Surely the Lord is angered by our fears and unbelief and cowardice. Everyone in here is a coward by nature, aren't you? You fear men's faces. You say, I can't say anything. What's the use? Right? I can't speak. I just fumble and mumble trying to come up with a verse of scripture to quote. Don't you? Including me. Including me. I'm thankful the Lord wrote of the fears of God's men. Aren't you? Aren't you glad? Abraham, father of the faithful, denied his wife twice. He was scared to death. I'm glad God wrote that. Aren't you? That's who God chooses. Fearful. Moses. David. Aren't you thankful? David wouldn't have fallen had God not allowed him to fall. David wished that never happened. Aren't you glad it happened? Aren't you? We wouldn't have Psalm 51. We wouldn't have Psalm 38. David was afraid. David acted like a madman. Remember? Acted like a madman. Drooling. How? Aren't you glad that happened? Times that you act like a fool. Times you act like a madman. Times you act like the disciples when Peter denied him. Peter wished that never happened. Aren't you glad it did? Aren't you? I denied him many times, more than Peter. Doesn't this redound to the praise of the glory of his grace? Doesn't this prove to us beyond a shadow of doubt salvation is by grace? The wisest man to ever live, Solomon. Do you know what he did when he was in the end as an old man? Do you know what he did? How could he do that? Because he's just a man. And I'm so glad to know that salvation's up to the Lord. That salvation's by grace. It's not up to me. It's all wholly up to Him. David was afraid. He said, "What? We wouldn't have this verse if David Hill wasn't afraid." He said, "What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in the Lord." Okay, where is Christ in all of this? Well, Christ is the one speaking, but let's look at Moses as he represents Christ, okay? And he does. He's a deliverer. He's the prophet. Moses is the prophet. Not Aaron. Not Miriam. Certainly not Miriam. The Lord dealt harder with Miriam than he did. He didn't even speak to Aaron about it. He made Miriam a leper for rising up against Moses. Didn't it? What does that tell you about women preachers? Moses was the prophet of God, not Aaron, not Miriam. Moses was the prophet of God. And this is what he said in Deuteronomy 18. He said, God will raise up a prophet like unto me. Capital P. Prophet, capital P. He said, he's the one you'll hear. He's the one you'll follow. He's the one that's going to tell you all things. Like the woman at the well, she met him. When Christ has come, he'll tell us all things. He's that prophet. And our Lord said that in John 14. We're going to look at it this morning. He said, the words I speak are the Father's words. What I say, Christ said, God said. Do you believe that? He said to his disciples. He said, if not, don't believe the word. Believe me for the work's sake. The works I do, the things I say, it's God speaking. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, he said. Moses, God said of Moses, you'll be to Aaron God. Christ is God to me. You understand? I'm sure you do. Everybody, you know how few people believe that? Well, he's a son of God, but he's not God. Oh, yes, he is. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. God. Very God of very God. Now, Moses. So Moses represents our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the spokesman of God. He said, was God ever angry with Christ? Oh, yes. On Calvary's tree. Anger and the wrath of God fell on Jesus Christ. Not because he was fearful, but because he was us, he said. So, but Moses represents Christ, and that he is the spokesman of God. He said in verse 15, thou shalt speak to Aaron and put words in his mouth. I will be thy mouth. God was in Christ and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. Everything Christ did, God did. Everything God told him to do, he did. And he shall be thy spokesman. Aaron will be the spokesman unto the people, and he shall be as thy mouth, but you'll be to him instead of God. God was in Christ. God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And he said, now Aaron represents all of God's preachers, be them prophets or apostles or evangelists or pastors or teachers. Right? Moses didn't speak to the people. Aaron did. Isn't that what he said? He'll be your spokesman. He'll be your mouth. Didn't Christ say that? He that heareth you, he said to his disciple, will hear me. Who? Every person that the Lord sends. How did you hear the truth? The Lord is sending Moses and Aaron to speak to who? Israel. Is there one person in Israel didn't hear what Aaron had said? Not one. How shall they hear without a preacher? If you heard the truth, you heard it through a preacher. Is that not right? Sure it is. If somebody says they didn't, they're trying to defend an experience or something. Trying to hold on to seniority. I don't know why anybody try to hold on to anything but Christ. If I didn't hear him yesterday, I wouldn't need to hear him today. I need to hear from him today. The Lord chose Aaron, didn't he? Aaron's a man, a sinful man. You know what Aaron did with the children of Israel? Unbelievable. But that's who the Lord chose. And I'm glad. I'm glad. It's okay. Gives me hope. Gives me hope. He said, you'll speak to him. Look at verse 14. He said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. Why? Why can Aaron speak well? Huh? The Lord just said, who makes man's mouth? Didn't he? How's he eloquent? The Lord made him so. What is eloquence? So that's a good question. Huh? They called Paul a vain babbler. There was not a more eloquent man that ever spoke than Paul. They called him all these philosophers and Pharisees called him a vain babbler. Why? He spoke simply. Our Lord spoke in one and two syllable words. He spoke so simply that doctors and lawyers couldn't understand a thing he was saying. Now, isn't that the Lord? Only the Lord can do that. So, Aaron, he said, I know he can speak well. And everyone in here thinks, I can't speak well. I can't speak well. Let me ask you one question, okay? Let me ask you one question, and you give me one word answer. Okay, what is truth?
Lord Jesus Christ.
You gave me three words. It's the same. These three are one. That's right. I'm glad you said that, though, because we call him by all his name, don't we? The world doesn't. Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. What is truth in one word? Christ. Christ. You know more than seminary professors? The whole world is asking, like what Pilate did, what is truth? It was standing right in front of him. Not an it. A person was standing right in front of Pilate, and he says, what is truth? He thought he was clever, didn't he, Patrick? He thought, I'm going to stump him. What is truth? He's revealing the idiot that he is. He wouldn't know truth if he saw it in the face. You do? Robin Pendry from Palmerdale, Alabama? Went to Auburn? No, she didn't get much education. She went to Auburn. What is truth? One word. Christ. I can ask anybody in here. You're eloquent. You speak well. I can't speak well. Brother John said, I ain't no preacher, but I can tell you about Jesus Christ. That's eloquence. That's wisdom from above. That is the power of God. Yes, it is. He is some person. We're going around trying to tell people about a person. And we babble and we fumble and we mumble and we try. What are we trying to do? Just trying to tell people salvation's of the Lord. That He is Lord. It's not in our ability to woo them or convince them or, it's not in our eloquence. It's in the Word. It's in His person. It's in His person. And then verse 17, in the end, he said, take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. So down in verse 29, Moses and Aaron went, gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. You see, every one of them is going to hear from the Lord. Word of God to the Son of God through a preacher of God. Verse 30, Aaron spake all the words which the Lord has spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. What did they do? Three signs. You remember? The rod turned into a serpent. The leprous hand. The water turned to blood. It's all Christ crucified in. That's what they did. When our Lord sent His disciples out, He said, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Next thing He says, heal the sick. What is it that heals the sick? The gospel. Raise the dead. What is it that raises the dead? The gospel. What is it that opens blind eyes? The gospel. All I've got to do in front of you today is hold up a serpent on a pole. Amen. It's to show you that the right hand of God came from the bosom of the Father and made sin for us, and He went back and He came back without any sin. And that's us. That's us in Him. And to show you that this whole water, this whole fountain, this whole river of God is full of blood. What's our redemption? That's what it's all about. Okay. And they bowed their heads, it said, and they worshiped the Lord. Everyone, every Israelite, when they heard that, God had delivered them and visited them, they all bowed their head. Thank you for what we heard. Thank you that You've given us the Word of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And they worship. Okay.